All right, this morning our two-part message is kind of somewhat of an in-house thing. We wanted to just take one Sunday and talk specifically about some of the changes that we're looking at to our Constitution and to our covenant, or to our membership, just so you know, you all who are here on Sunday morning can kind of hear that this is not just... this is not just pragmatic. When we're asking these questions, we're asking spiritual questions. Every part of our community is a spiritual entity. And so I think these changes, what I want you to see this morning is that the changes that we're talking to you are not necessarily God spaketh to us and said, here is your new covenant, but these do have some basis in biblical principles, and some of the goals that we have are deeply, I hope, spiritual goals. And so the first big change that we're looking at making has to do with membership, and specifically about thinking about membership in terms of covenant. We started having this conversation a couple years ago after our annual meeting. Some of you remember that really well, when we had a constitutional change that we wanted to vote on, and we thought that our quorum, we needed 25%. That's a long story. But point is, we didn't have 25% of our membership there, which sounds kind of sad, like we couldn't get 25% of our membership to come to this meeting about some of the changes we were having. Until we realized, well, our membership roles had 240-some people on them. And, you know, I've been here for 3 years, and I guarantee you I haven't seen or talked to 240 members of the church. And so we started thinking, well, maybe how we think about membership isn't really very relevant to what kind of community, what our community actually is like. And so we said, well, maybe we should throw membership out altogether. That was one of the things we mentioned. Forget membership. You know, just come as you are. But what we kept coming back to was this idea of covenant. And we came back to this idea of covenant because covenant, if you read the scriptures from cover to cover, is how God does relationship and how God does community. So when you could argue Genesis 1 and 2 is about God making covenant with Adam and Eve, but we'll skip ahead to the first official usage of the term is in Genesis 6 and in Genesis 9 when God makes covenant with Noah as he begins this new humanity. And then in Genesis 12 when God is beginning this new redeeming people group, this new family in Abraham, God makes a covenant with Abraham. And as we read this morning, Exodus 24, as this people moves out of slavery in Egypt, Israel, and are moving towards the promised land in this new beginning, God makes a covenant through Moses with the nation of Israel. God makes a covenant with King David. And God makes a covenant that we start hearing about from Jeremiah called a new covenant, that when Jesus, in the Last Supper that he has with his disciples, and he talks about the cup and his blood as the blood of the new covenant, that is the beginning of the church. So when God does community, when God does relationship, he does relationship through covenant, which is all well and good, except we need to ask one question. What's a covenant? Right? Because, you know, even though this is a theme that is all through the Bible, I think a lot of us don't really know what we mean when we talk about covenant. And so let me begin by talking about what covenant is not. And there are three things covenant is not that we really have to understand. First of all, covenant is not a low commitment, casual relationship. It's not, you know, think of a wedding and the wedding vows that we say. We don't say, sometimes we act like this, but we don't say, hey, you know, I kind of like you. As long as it feels good to both of us, we'll kind of hang out and, you know, do life together kind of thing. That's not what we say when we enter into a marriage covenant. It's a high commitment thing, okay? So it's not low commitment, casual relationship that we're talking about here. Second, and I want you to really hear this. Covenant is not a list of rules. Can you repeat after me? Covenant is not a list of rules. All right, you said it with me. You didn't repeat after me, but good enough. Covenant is not a list of rules, okay? And sometimes we get this confused. We even look at the Bible, and we look at the law, so to speak, in the Old Testament. Well, the word for law in Hebrew is Torah, and Torah really means instruction, not just a legal code, okay? So covenant is not a list of rules. We'll come back to that. And third thing is, covenant is not boundary-focused. Covenant is not boundary-focused. And so you can kind of see up here, the boundary, the circle represents the community, the red line is boundary, and a covenant is not focused on that boundary, who is in and who is out. Okay, we'll come back to that picture. We often turn Christianity into something like this, a boundary-focused religion, where we're asking questions like, what's the least I need to do? What's the least I need to believe in order to get into heaven? That's a boundary-focused way of thinking about Christianity, but Christianity from the beginning has never been boundary-focused. It's always been center-focused. Okay. Now, how we do membership right now is low commitment. Okay, so is a low commitment, rule-based, boundary-focused way of thinking about membership. Okay, so we have our boundaries, who's in or who's out, and that boundary is rule-based. So right now our rules are, if you come once a year, if you give once a year, or if you take communion once a year, you're in. And if you don't, you're out. You see how that, and that's low commitment, because those things are really low. Like, I could send in a check for $1, and technically I'm fulfilling my membership requirements, right? Okay, so that's low commitment, rule-based, boundary-focused. Now, I'm not saying that kind of way of organizing your community is wrong. What I'm just saying is it's not covenant. It's a whole different category than covenant. Okay, so part of our issue was, we talked about covenant a couple months ago, and we put a member covenant back there and said, hey, look at this covenant and tell us what you think. And you saw a lot of these bullet points about things we covenant to do and promise to do, and said, whoa, going from our current membership requirements to these membership requirements, that's a lot of rules I have to follow in order to stay in membership. So we were thinking, some of us, because we've thought about membership for so long as kind of a low commitment, boundary focused, rule based thing, you read the covenant in those terms and thought, wow, this is not okay. Because we're just going to be kicking people out left and right. Because there are just so many rules. Now, if we could flip slides. Covenant, though, is a different way of thinking about membership. It's a whole different category for thinking about it. All right. So a covenant, first of all, is not boundary-focused. It's center-focused. So when we're talking about a covenant, we're not asking, what's the least I need to do to be out? We're asking, what are the things that can draw us closer to the center? The center is our vision. The center is Jesus, ultimately. So we're not saying, what's the least I need to do to get into heaven? We're saying, how can I be more like Jesus? How can I have a closer relationship with God? How can we be more fully committed to the gospel? Those kinds of questions. You see the difference? Those are center-focused questions, and a covenant is center-focused. It's also not a list of rules, again. It's instruction. And we're looking at our covenant back there that you can pick up, and hopefully you have. We're not saying, here's a list of rules that you have to follow to be in. We're saying, here's our vision, and this covenant is how we, if we live out this covenant, we will live into our vision. It's instruction for getting closer and closer to the center of who we are as a people, to what our vision is. So when God gives the covenant in Exodus 19 through 24 and beyond, he starts off by saying, you are my special possession. You are a holy nation. You are a kingdom of a priestly kingdom, a kingdom of priests. He gives them this vision. This is who you are. You are the people of God. And then he gives them the covenant. That's the vision. Then he gives them the covenant and says, if you really want to live out this vision, or live into this vision, then live out the instruction of the covenant. The covenant is, how can we become the people of God? How can we more fully live that out? So do you see some of the differences there? The arrows are like the covenant. The covenant is what is pointing us towards the center. And so if you read through our covenant, I think you'll find a lot of really good practices for being in community together. And practices that we get right out of the Bible itself. It's a commitment to our vision, which you've already agreed upon. It's a commitment to one another as a community. It's our commitment to God. All right. The last thing I want to say about this is that one of the words that has been brought up is that our leaders are going to be like police. They're going to be policing the covenant. And so if you, if you break the covenant, the leaders are going to be like, all right, you broke the covenant, you broke the rules, you're out. And you see kind of the problem with that. What I would say, instead of police, we are called to be prophetic in relation to the covenant. The prophets in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament for that matter, Jesus and John the Baptist, prophets are always prophesying based on the covenant. So they don't come and say, hey, you broke the rules, you're out. What they say is, come back to the covenant. We've agreed that this is the way that God has called us to live into our vision. Come back to it. So we're not going to be looking to just kick people out. We're going to be looking to call people back to what we've been called to live it towards the center more fully. Okay? So this is a high commitment thing. We're asking you to commit to go closer to the center, closer, more into our vision together. It's high commitment. It is. But it's not rule-based, and it's not boundary-focused. It's a whole different category. Lastly, I think I said that already. One thing people said was, well, we want people to be members because they want to be members, not because they feel like they have to follow all the rules or have to live out this covenant. And my answer is yes, absolutely. We want people to want to be a part of this community. But the question is, what kind of a community is it? What does it look like to be a member of this community? These are the questions the covenant is answering and helping us to be clear on, especially when maybe new people come in. Amen? Amen. We are going to have a Q&A afterwards, so stick around afterwards, and you can ask questions. We can have conversation and discussion. So ask questions then, right after the service. All right. All right, part two, and the other big change that we're talking about is our structure. And what I want you to think about is, right now, it was an image of a person living in, say, the 1820s. I don't know. All right, you have this picture. You have how they're dressed. Yes, okay. Vaguely. I mean, you can make it up, really. But point is, think of old school clothing. Now, take that person and plant them in this church today. It would look kind of awkward, right? To be dressed that way, to walk around the streets dressed as someone in the 1820s. Now, it wasn't wrong. Their dress in the 1820s wasn't wrong, right? Correct? But here, it would just kind of be out of place a little bit. It would be time for them to change if they were somehow still living 190 years in the future, right? That's how I want to encourage you to think about some of the changes that we're making here. Sometimes I've heard, well, you know, we're changing these things, or usually it's phrased this way, you're changing these things, and you're just saying we were doing it all wrong. And friends, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that things that were done and how church was done 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago for that matter, are not being fruitful in this time, in this place. So what we saw when it comes to structure, we saw leaders, people who were on our boards and leadership stuff who were feeling burnt out. Often most of people on those boards and teams. We saw people who didn't want to be on boards, so our board numbers were shrinking. And there was one other thing, but I forgot my notes, so I don't remember what it was. Anyway, point is, We saw people who, some of whom, didn't want to become members because they didn't want to have to be on boards. In other words, our structure was uninspiring in this time, so to speak. It's not to say that it didn't work. It's not to say that it didn't produce fruit, bear fruit, in a different time. It's not to say that it wasn't inspiring in a different time, and people did not do really good work through our board system. But what we saw was that, especially for the people who were on our boards, it seemed to be draining life rather than cultivating life. So that's where we said we need to make a few changes. Part of it was the fact that the size of our congregation has changed a lot. And, you know, if you can imagine a large house that houses a family of 12 and six people move out or eight people move out, the burden of that house becomes a much bigger burden on those four or six remaining people. That's what we were seeing with our structure, that people were feeling burdened by it. It was made and created and probably thrived in a time with more people around doing more things in a different era of organizational membership, okay? But it wasn't doing that anymore. And so we said, what we're going to do is kind of what Jesus talks about God the gardener doing. We said, if a branch is not bearing fruit, we're going to prune it. We're going to remove it. And so we're pruning our structure as a community, to just really a couple entities. One of those is our Board of Trustees that is going to continue on. It's going to be kind of trimmed in its own right, but the trustees are going to go on. They're going to be kind of the managers of the stewards of our resources and managers of how the operations of the church. And then we're going to have what we're calling the leadership team. And this is a team of people who are committed to kind of making sure we're driving towards our vision. Government, I think it's in Latin, means steering. So when we think of the handlebars on a bicycle. We're thinking about the direction of the bike, but not the work of the bike. Right? The pedals do the work. The bike rider does the work, not the handlebars. That's what our leadership team is, kind of making sure we're going in the right direction, but not necessarily doing all the work for the community. That's kind of the basic outline of how this works, the proposed changes would work. I also see this new structure addressing a couple really biblical gospel type of principles. And they're kind of two sides of the coin. The negative side of the coin is that we live in a culture that is extremely rooted in consumerism. Increasingly so. Maybe we always were, but more and more today, that we view ourselves as consumers, which means that when we go places, we expect to be served, we expect to have all of the options that we want, we expect our preferences to be met, we expect to be able to consume what we want to consume. Okay, that's just the culture we live in. I'm not saying any single one of you is living in that. I'm just saying that's the culture we live in. And so the message, the unintended message that I would suggest that our structure might have been sending was that there are kind of two classes of members or churchgoers. There's the people who serve and the people who are served, the provider and the consumer. And that's not the message of the gospel. That's not Jesus. That's not who Jesus was. If anyone ever deserved to be the consumer because he was the creator of all things, it was Jesus. And Jesus says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so anyone who follows Jesus has to hear those words. I have not come to be served, but to serve. And so by kind of taking away the board structure, we're saying it's all of our ministry. You know, I think our mission board has done lots of great work over the years. But I think maybe our mission board in our increasingly consumeristic culture made it easy to say, well, who does the mission for your church? Oh, the mission board. We have a mission board who does that for us. or Christian Ed. Who teaches the gospel? Who teaches your kids? Who teaches your adults? We have a board of Christian Ed to do that. You know, so it makes it easier for us to see the consumer, the provider-consumer thing. All right. So that's one side of the coin, and I think by pruning, it makes it very clear that we are all called. This is our ministry. The second side to that coin is what we believe about God's gifting. We believe that God has gifted every single person on this earth, not just every Christian. God has gifted every single person that he has ever made. We all have gifts. Now, whether we live them out, that's another question, but we all have gifts. We all have things, I hope, that we're interested and passionate about. We all have things that we feel called to, so things that tug at our hearts. And there, it came to a point where I just felt weird that we were saying, here's our job description of this board or that board, of this position or that position. Help fill that job description. What we want to do is kind of take away some of the job descriptions and say, what are you gifted in? What are you passionate about? What is God calling you to do? And make room for you to do that. Make room for not just you, but for other people who might be called in that direction to join you in that. That's the idea. So, for instance, we do not have a mission board. But if you feel called, if you feel passionate about something like Tent City, which we're going to hear about in a few minutes, follow that calling. We have room for you to do that. You don't have to be on a board. You don't have to follow your passion to do that. And invite other people into that passion. And the other people who are invited into that become kind of the Tent City mission board, if you will. But it's all people who are passionate about that and gifted and are following God's calling to it. If there is, God forbid, a hurricane that comes on the coast, and you feel passionate and called to go and serve there, then we want you to say, come serve with me. Come follow this calling. If you're called, if you're passionate about this, come with me and do this. And that kind of becomes the Hurricane Relief Mission Board of people who are passionate about that and gifted to do it. And we're connecting you through that. That's the idea. Now, there might be things we're doing right now that no one really feels passionate about. We're just doing them because they've been done. And if that's the case, those things need to stop and fall to the ground. Because if no one's passionate about them, and if no one's gifted to do them, that's not our calling. So, that's what we're asking. That's what we're looking at with this structure. We want you to have... The structure is not going to fix anything. The new structure is not fixing anything. It's not the solution. The change in the structure, the idea is to make room, to make space, so that we can really follow the ways God is calling us. And people's gifts have space to flourish. So that people have space to pursue their passions within the church and invite other people along with them to do that. Now, will the structure work? Will these changes work? I don't know. And neither do you. Which brings me full circle back to covenant. Because as I was looking through all of these covenants that God makes this week, I noticed just when it is that God gives and makes covenants. He makes a covenant with Noah before he sends a world chaos-inducing flood. And he makes a covenant with Abraham before Abraham leaves his homeland and goes on this journey into the unknown. And he makes a covenant with Israel just after they've gotten out of Egypt, but before their wilderness wanderings and into the promised land, into this new age of being who they are. And he makes a covenant through Jesus in the Last Supper. Jesus makes this covenant the night before he goes to the cross. And the disciples are left without Jesus. And then eventually this unpredictable spirit comes into the community. He makes the covenant before all chaos and the unknown breaks loose. And God does that for two reasons. One, because it is out of chaos that God makes beautiful, amazing stories happen. And to assure us that as we enter into the chaos, which is the environment for beautiful stories to be made, that we are not alone. That God is with us. That we are in it together. That's the power and the beauty of covenant. That God will be with us, and even when we break the rules sometimes, and even when we mess up sometimes, that God will be with us. And that we will be with one another through the unknown, following God wherever God may lead. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the true blessing of being invited into the new covenant that you have made possible for us on the cross, that you have breathed life into through the resurrection and by the Spirit among us. We pray that this community would be one that is shaped and formed and guided into the future by that covenant, by that Spirit. We pray that you would help us to face the unknown of the future and cling to the known of your unchanging love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.